Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Playable in a browser.
And are you just going to shout out a random tagline every week now? Is that the thing?
Yes.
You should do that. I'm going to put you on the spot. Every week, we need that to happen. You need to do that. So that's your job. You had one job.
And I did it.
Do it right. You did it. Joining us this week, all the way from Melbourne. How do you say it? Melbourne?
Melbourne's fine. Although Melbourne. You can say it Melbourne because you're American.
Okay. Melbourne.
Yeah, that's fine.
Apparently, I say a lot of things wrong, according to my girlfriend. Is James Hicks. Joining from Melbourne, Australia, is James Hicks, where right now it is 7. People are always fascinated by this stuff. And the first thing you always ask, what time is it over there? I did the exact same thing. So it is now 7 p.m. here on a Tuesday night. It is the future in Australia.
Yep.
It is 2 p.m.
It's 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
On Wednesday. So how's the future looking? It sounds calm over there. So it sounds like everything's all right.
Can you tell us the winning? Can you tell us the winning lottery numbers?
No, I can go to jail for that.
Yes.
But you got to remember, we may be half a day ahead, but we're about 10 years behind in every other way. So.
Well, your government definitely seems a little more ahead than some of ours in some ways. Mm. But anyway, welcome to the show. You are here because you emailed me. I love when developers do this because there's only so much time I have to look for new games. You emailed me, and thank you for that, telling me about your space game, which, humorously enough, I kind of love this, is called Ascent, the Space Game.
Yeah, that's to reduce any confusion. And I must say thank you for having me on the show, and hello.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I mean, this is the great thing about this podcast is it's a great way to talk to people we probably wouldn't have even considered talking to before. Plus, it gets people in the know about games like yours. So you've got a browser-based – currently it's a browser-based game running on the Unity engine called Ascent, the space game. And it's kind of an homage to Elite – Privateer, those older trading games where you fly around and do missions and trade commodities. That's the primary focus of the game right now.
Yes, it's definitely initially. It's more a kind of in all of those games, in the whole genre, there's sort of a hit list of all the things that everybody wanted to do. You wanted to play it with other players and see them. You want to be able to land on planets, get out, walk around, and you want to be able to build cities and have your own star base that's kind of your home and do research and improve things and be able to build better stuff and all that sort of thing. And so the idea of the space game, or one of them, which we're now marketing as Ascent, so I should get in the habit of calling it that, is just that we would implement all of these things, that it just becomes I wish there was a game where, it's in Ascent. I can go and do that. That's sort of one of the big ideas behind it. So, yeah, so at the moment, we're sort of closing in on that. At the moment, you can do most of those things. And now that we've added really the entire galaxy to explore, the next step is being able to build the cities and star bases out in those new systems.
Okay.
And that's what I'm working on right now. So you can already do both of those things, but within the what we call the Apollo cluster, that sector 000. So there's 8 planets you can build a city on and one place where you can have a star base legally there. And we want to open that right up in the new systems.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I saw I was flying around and doing contracts, which are missions, and I saw, buy a space station for 10,000 space bucks. And I'm like, I don't know even what to do with that right now. I'm still trying to find farming robots or for some lady. So I read a little bit about the game on the wiki and stuff, but for the listeners, when did this get off the ground? Like, what inspired it? When did you start working on it? What was like the impetus to get it all rolling?
It was actually a conversation I had New Year's day about 1 a.m. last year with one of my best friends, and we'd been I had just spent 6 years as an IT manager, and we're just sort of shooting the breeze and decided that it was definitely time to try our own business again. And of all the ideas we had, this seemed really the least sensible. it was definitely the least likely to succeed, but also the most exciting, and definitely the most challenging. So really, initially we were thinking of actually outsourcing the development, and it was when I was sort of trying Unity out and making sure I was familiar enough with it to be able to outsource development, to be able to converse with developers who were working on our engine, I sort of accidentally made a working game. And it just really hit home how much easier and faster development for computer games has become. And I think that's really been borne out in the 12 months since. As a matter of fact, it's now here in Australia, 5th of March, which makes it exactly a year since I started working on this full time. Yeah, it's exactly a year to the day.
Well, that's amazing. Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Wow, we couldn't have timed that better if we tried.
No, we couldn't have. Yeah, so it really came out from there. And the idea of it was that we look at the market out there, and I know there are a lot of other space multiplayer MMO games being developed at the moment. I know there are a bunch of other projects going. But our idea was it's a game you'll be able to play from within the first couple of weeks of my working on. In fact, it was open to players, completely open, really from a few weeks in, and has been since. But the idea was that there's a gap in the market, that you've got some really beautiful, excellent PvP-oriented MMOs, such as EVE Online, for example. I think if you're into PvP, that is absolutely the game to go for. But I just didn't feel that there was a completely open-ended PvE-oriented game where it was all about... I mean, yes, we have combat. You know, you go and blow up pirates and whatnot. And of course that is a big part of the game. I'm not trying to minimize that.
There you go, Jim. Jim was asking me about that before we started. So there you go.
All right.
There
are pirates.
Pirates is kind of a theme, a kind of a running joke in this podcast. So.
Is it? Excellent.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have a big space adventure without space pirates and potentially aliens, but you know, that's down the track perhaps. That's the basic premise, was that I really felt there was a big gap in the market where there wasn't that game that gave you that completely open, oh my God, how big is space, this is ridiculous feeling, and that really open, I can do whatever I want, sort of feel to it. Yeah, there just wasn't one of those. So I went and set about making it.
Well, I appreciate that, because I've said before to all on my site and whatnot, I'm not into PvP at all. I'm much more of a PvE/econ guy.
I think there's a lot of people that fit that mold. I mean, I myself, I do like PvP, but probably not in the MMO setting. A game I play PvP or did quite a bit, about 1,100 battles, was World of Tanks. That to me is that suits me for PvP. You know, if I blow someone up, I've annoyed them for 10 minutes. It's not like in EVE where, you know, some kid comes along and he's brand spanking new battleship that took him 3 months to save up for, and then I'd blow it up. I can't imagine doing that to someone. And I think a lot of people are the same. And I think, they need a game, and that's what we're trying to make.
Well, I think a big underserved market in the space game community right now is farming. And from what I've heard, you can actually farm. Because Brian's like, well, I'm delivering farming robots. And I was like, oh, well, can you drive a tractor? I mean, those sim games are all the rage now on Steam, right? You know, the farming sim. So it would be kind of remiss if you don't put tractors in.
That's very true.
I may put tractors in at some point, but at the moment, yeah, look, all you can do with your farming robots, if you're not going to sell them, you can use them to construct a farming building, and then that will produce whatever resource, so you know, grain or what have you, based on a bunch of other factors. It's quite complicated, actually, the city building.
Well, that could be because PvP thing, right, where you could grief other players by, like, shooting crop circles in their fields. You know, like I
get... Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, yes. I mean, I don't think I would probably implement that as such, but there's one of the goals we want to have. I mean, you can already jump out of your ship and run around, but you're in a space suit and whatnot. One of the early goals I have with the when we start building these cities on the outer planets is being able to completely disembark from your ship and walk around in this city as your avatar and go into buildings and all that sort of jazz.
Ooh. So,
yeah, I really want to be able to do that and have it be a big part of the game. We really want to implement things like bounty hunting of individuals and smuggling. There are different laws, no doubt, about what's legal here and what's legal there. That was a big part of the Elite series that I really enjoyed, was smuggling goods around the place. And I think now, because we have things like radar and complicated terrain and so on, I think there's a lot of possibilities for really quite subtle gameplay there in Ascent. So that's the part of the future.
I got to say, as I was playing this and looking at the map, it really did remind me of Frontier, Elite 2 in a lot of ways, especially when I was basically gifted that ship by another player. Thank you, whatever your name was. I don't even remember his name. Drevent something. Oh, God. I'm looking at the thing. I'm looking at the game. That's a nice goddamn. Draven something. You know who you are. You, buddy. Darren Gray.
Oh, yes. Yep. I've seen him around.
Yeah, he said he was playing for a month. He says he's really enjoying it. He gifted me a ship, a ship that's like 10 times the size of the starter ship for like for one credit. I'm like, wow, thank you.
That's a bargain, to be sure.
It really is. And then when I got the ship, I'm like, oh my God, this is so elite right here. This is so Frontier right here. Oh my God. Because you look at the map and you see all these systems, you're like, ooh, I could jump to all of those. And eventually, you can get a jump drive like you had in Elite and just go boom, boom, like right to the system, apparently, right?
That's exactly right. So hyperdrives, you can buy a Class 1 hyperdrive later on. And on Christmas Day, we gifted players with Premium the blueprint for the hyperdrive, and they've been able to research Class 2 and then Class 3 and so on. And basically, that means that the minimum size ship can be powered, but hyperdrived by a Class 1 and then Class 2. And you need a Class 11 for the largest ship in the game, which is many, many weeks of research and construction, but then you can move quite a lot of stuff a long way. So,
what is the largest ship in the game? It's like a cruiser or something? I'm trying to
remember. So it's only, I've got my inverted commas up. Sorry, you can't see that. It's only a destroyer. So it's got about... with the default fit out, it's got about 10,000 tons of cargo space. But it's quite big. It's about 300 meters long.
Is that the ship I saw outside of a space station earlier today?
Maybe.
Was it gold? It was gold.
Well, actually, there may have been a gold ship, but that's just a player that's painted their ship gold. I should have mentioned that you can, once you have a working star base, you've got the facility to customize your paint job.
That's great.
It's again, like, it's one of those things that's just, it ends up on that list of what would you like to have done in all of these space games. Oh, I want to customize how my ship looks. Oh, okay, well, let's better implement that. Yeah.
No, I mean, like I said, I've been just flying around doing some missions. I did a little asteroid mining, which is kind of fun. A little bit annoying in some ways, like I was trying to mine one asteroid. It told me, you're not going like fast enough. Keep doing it. And then it blew up. You mine too much. I'm like, you kept telling me to – oh, you son of a – so that was kind of annoying. But I'm a big fan of mining in space games like this, so I'm glad that option is there.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things too. And probably the reason why you find it frustrating initially is that it is actually – there's a little bit of subtlety to it. It's not like – you just click a button and wait, and then you get a certain amount of minerals. You've really got to pay attention and understand what's happening. It's a bit complicated. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but yeah, there's a couple of factors, quite a few actually, that affect what your yields are, which can range from zero if you overheat the asteroid to quite a lot. And there's a lot of skill involved. If you manage to get it very close to the point just before it explodes, that's when you get the maximum yield. So it's actually quite hard. And of course, the asteroids are moving. So yeah, it's a different ball game. And I actually found that was one of the areas, aside from combat, where I found myself accidentally playing when I was meant to be testing. Yeah, it's quite popular too. I do see a lot of players mining.
Yeah, I'm always been a fan of mining. Now, on a kind of a different track, this thing is running in Unity, right? Great. It's running in a website. And folks, don't be put off by browser game, because they've come a long way in the last few years. Just look at Battlestar Galactica Online, for example. So there's a lot you can do with these things. But this one looks pretty nice. You know, it's not Star Citizen, but that's not what you're going for. So whatever.
And I don't have 30 million or whatever they've got flying around. I just don't have that.
Not only does it have almost 40 million, they released a report, like this monthly report, and they have over 200 employees. They kind of announced.
Yeah, I've got myself and a cat.
So you did all this by yourself?
All of the development, yes. So I do. I've got some artists to do some artwork. Otherwise, the whole game would look awful because I have no talent for art. And obviously, I've got some voice actors, and there's a guy I use who directs those. So the parts of the game that look and feel quite professional, you can tell I've hired someone else. But yeah, no, all of the development client server, that's all me. So yes, I probably can't keep up with a 200 person team and $40 million. But I can say though that yeah, I do spend money on art, and when we get it, I can improve the look of things.
Please don't think I was complaining. I totally wasn't.
Not at all. No, you bring up a good point actually. I do notice, and even with myself, if a game's only available on the web, you just don't treat it with the same. It doesn't feel the same as a PC game. So, right. I know there's a perception thing there. It's all I can say there is that the Unity standalone engine, which is what you play a PC game on, that was built in Unity, is almost identical to the web player. So all of the features are the same and it plays the same. There are a few little differences in the back end, like the available memory use is a little bit capped depending on which browser it's in and things like that. So there are things I can't do in the web that I can do with the PC build and stuff like that.
Well, I did want to ask you a couple questions about that, if you don't mind. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I'm working on not interrupting as much. I apologize, though. So I noticed the Unity, the web one, will use a joystick.
Yes.
Jim discovered that, actually. I didn't even know that. I've been using the WASD stuff. So we'll use a joystick, but not a throttle?
So it's not a I'm actually using just standard Newtonian physics. So your thrusters are basically either on or off at the moment. So they're either firing or they're not. You can lock them on, but I don't have a half thrust sort of setting.
So a throttle would be irrelevant, basically.
Currently, yeah, it wouldn't be much use in the game.
That's a very interesting track to go, because most games, even with Newtonian physics, give you some kind of throttle control. But I kind of like where you're going. It's different.
Yeah,
because
flight's quite a bit different in ascent, because we have the thing called the gravity anchor.
You can
cycle that on and off, and it basically means it's a continual drag on the ship, and it cancels any gravity effects that you have. So, yeah, it makes flight quite complicated. It was fun actually teaching the AI to do gravity anchor slides. That was one of my favorite parts of the combat AI development, actually.
Oh really? Interesting.
Yeah. But yes, we do plan on releasing a PC release soon. I do have a build up. It's on Jasura, but they haven't approved it yet. So it takes them a little bit of time because they literally download and test everything before they approve it. So
I didn't know that. That's pretty awesome though that they do that.
They do, yeah. They're pretty serious about the level of quality that they're providing.
Wow, that makes me like them even more, honestly.
I thought, oh good, you know, here are some people I can definitely respect in the industry there.
People who really care about, because they're great for indie games. Like if Steam won't take you, you know, or if you can't get on Steam yet, Desura is fantastic, and even by itself, Desura I think is great. A lot of games have found success on Desura, so I dig Desura. But I'm glad to hear there's going to be a standalone version, because as nice as this browser version is, I don't know. I maybe this is just me. I would much prefer a standalone, like execution.
That's not just you. Yeah, I think. I think there are a lot of players that are really put off by the fact that it's only available on the web and only available to play.
Which is really weird, because this means it's cross-platform right now, really.
That's right. Yeah, you can play it on a Mac at the moment. Although I don't have a Mac to test with, so you might find things I haven't found.
I have a MacBook at work. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, we do have a couple of players who play it on the Mac, and the web client should always work for that.
Okay, yeah, I'll give it a shot on my MacBook at work and see what I think. But like I said, folks, don't be put off that it's a browser game. It runs really fantastically, and there's a little button called FS. That's just full screen. So you can just lie to yourself even and fool yourself into thinking it's a separate executable by making it full screen. And it does look fantastic. So I wanted to ask something about the contracts, because – In games like this, these open trading spacey games, missions and contracts are my favorite thing. Some people like finding trade routes. I kind of suck at that. So I much prefer, hey, make money by doing this specific task. Make money by doing this specific task. And I really like kind of the variety that you have here. Like I'm looking at some right now, and contracts are like, you can buy a starbase, take these passengers, deliver a package. This guy needs titanium. I need some. This guy needs hydrogen. It seems to be a pretty good variety so far.
Yeah, one of the rules I have with developing, when I'm developing on a contract, if I come up with a particular storyline mission, one of the rules I have is that whatever I do in that mission, I want to, maybe it's a new type of mission, like I have to go and find an object in space. I then make the procedural version of that mission as well. So what that means is that as soon as there's a storyline mission where you have to go and find something lost in space, then that kind of mission will show up in the contract boards all over the place as well. So, and that's really driven that variety of contracts that you just see everywhere within the game. And I think, to expand on that, that one of the things I really want to do with the new settlements is to have player contracts so that there's more of that hiring of players to do various things.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, if player-made contracts are like the next step. Like, I need this much material, can you get it for me? That sort of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the moment, I mean, you can do that a little bit with the galactic market, in the sense that, you know, you can put up things for sale, and you can put up the guys put up things on the forum saying, hey, I need 100 and something of this, I'm out of niobium or whatever. So there's a bit of that going on already. But yeah, definitely. Things like, you know, I really need this transported from here to here. And I think, I played EVE for a good 3 years, and there were contracts like that, but they were never worth really doing. The mechanics they put in place to enforce that transport just weren't strong enough to make sure that, that the player would deliver the item to the right place and so on. So, really want to make sure that we do that to the extent where it really is a viable kind of play.
Yeah, now I see in the contracts you can buy a deed. Is that how you set up a settlement, is buying a deed?
Yeah, so within the Apollo sector, there are 8 planets that you can buy deeds for, and you can set up a little city on each of those, and each of them produces a different kind of resource. So there are 4 mineral types that come from planets and 4 food types. If you've got all 8 of them, then you can produce quite a bit of goods in a day. It takes a while to get them set up, though.
Well, there are several million credits, I see.
Yeah. So it's really the next phase of the game. Most players tend to spend a fair bit of time running around mining and and trading and doing contracts, and then they get into production on cities and building the Starbase out. But obviously, you still mine, because the minerals you get by mining, a lot of them you literally can't produce anywhere on a planet. So, but then it gets more advanced, because you know you have a larger ship and you can have a more powerful mining beam, and the yields are higher and so on.
Now, what you said with the Starbase, you could paint, like I could buy one right now for 10,000 credits. What do you, now when you buy one, do you have to put it in a certain place? And then my next question with Starbase is what else can you do with it besides paint your ship all pretty?
Okay, so in Apollo, when you buy a Starbase, you get sort of a little allotment in deep space around the Apollo system, and then you fly to that, and initially there'd just be this ring there, empty ring, which you can then put structures onto, the Starbase modules. And one of those structures is a shipyard, which is a bit of an epic task to build, but then that lets you build modules and, you know, spray paint your ship and build ship hulls and then build out the whole thing and refit your ship. And you can park other ships there and have a big hangar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then there are all these other kinds of heavy industry. So that the Starbase is where you can build things like farming and mining robots and the components needed, obviously, for the ship modules and so on. And the other thing you can do there, which is really key, is it's the first place where you can build a research station. And from there, you can there is a certain number of blueprints that you can research immediately. That just come sort of with the research center. And there are others which you can get by salvaging wrecks. You might see in the contract board there are the color-coded white. There are salvage missions where they'll sell you the coordinates to a wrecked ship that they've found or have been made aware of some other way. And you can go there, and if you salvaging is a bit like mining, there are a few factors, but if you play your cards right, you can get blueprint fragments, which you can then research into full blueprints. So if you go out there and you find a wrecked mammoth, which is a giant class 9 frigate, and you manage to, and it's got enough still intact pieces, and you salvage it all correctly, you can actually build your own mammoth from those blueprints and others and sell them. And that's exactly what players have been doing. Mm. And the other major kind of research that's been going to this two others, one is you can research more productive farms and mines for your planets, and then you can upgrade those as you go. Oh. So it's diminishing returns, but there's no limit to it. And that's the same process we apply to skills and a lot of other things. It's always open-ended, but you tend to get, it takes longer to get to the next level. And the next level doesn't mean quite as much as the level before in terms of enhanced productivity and things like that. And the last kind of research you can do is up class. So when you get a turret blueprint that's class 1, it's only got a certain amount of power, you can research the next class of that and continually do that until you get up to, well, actually that's open-ended too. So, you can put... If you have a destroyer, you can probably put a class 12 or 13 turret on it somewhere, but you wouldn't have much room for much else.
So if I have, say, 15,000 credits right now, should I buy a Starbase for 10,000 credits or should I wait?
I would definitely advise waiting at this stage, because it's probably a couple of weeks away of play, depending on how often you play, before it's really worth your while constructing a Starbase. At your stage of the game, you are probably exactly on the right track, flying around, doing contracts, trading a bit, doing a bit of mining. Mining can be very profitable. Right. If you find the right asteroid, I mean, one of the asteroid types yields uranium, which sells for quite a bit, and it's in demand with players as well. And you can run around and then find a contract where there's someone who's desperate for uranium and make quite a bit. So, yeah, it's probably, you definitely... I'd say at the stage, if you've got 15,000 credits, you probably don't want to spend 2/3 of your capital on an empty ring. of a star base.
Now, you said this one particular ship you were talking about, it's a class 9. How many different classes are there, and how many different ships are there in the game?
There are 11 classes of ship, and there are 12 types of ship, or 12 ship hull types that are playable by players. There are drones as well, which you don't have access to, but you are allowed to blow up. So the ships range from something that's about the size of a modern era fighter jet, and so your initial ship is about that size. Maybe it's 10 or 15 meters long, and it weighs 20 tons all up, and they double each time. So about class 10, class 11, which is the highest, you're looking at a bit over 20,000 tons total mass, and then the default fit out gives you about half of that free. So you're going from 10 tons of cargo holds to 10,000 available. So there's quite a big difference between the ships. And of course the big ships turn very slowly and so on as well. But they can mount crazy big weapons and shields and armor. So.
Wow, okay. Because I don't know. What class is this Falcon that someone sold me?
Is that a 4 or 5? Off the top of my head, I actually can't remember. But it's 4, it's one of those two. It's one of those two. I think it might be 5.
I wonder if it says, let's see, is there one here? Oh, let's see. Lot 3, doesn't say what class it is. It just says Lot 3, Brig class.
Yeah, that's 5, yeah.
Okay, ooh, I jumped from a 1 to a 5 with one, that's a very nice person. You let me do that. That'll be nice, it's very nice. I can do bigger missions.
Yeah.
Whoa, is that a whale? What's going on over there?
Oh, that was someone drove past with a loud exhaust.
Wow.
Or a whale in the back. I'm not actually sure.
Oh, Australia. To us in America, Australia is this kind of far-off exotic land with spiders the size of your head and whatnot.
The size of your hand, not so much the size of your head.
Well, that's still freaking terrifying.
It's still, they do get pretty big.
Oh, God. Have you ever seen one that big, like in person?
Yes, of course. Yeah, God. But they.
I like how you say. Oh, absolutely, of course. Yeah.
Well, the variety that get that bigger, there are huntsmen, and they're quite common, and they come into your house when it rains. So
oh,
you
do God. See them.
But they're very friendly. They're not aggressive at all, and they don't have a very nasty bite. So or not.
They don't have a death. They don't have a nasty bite. Their bite is actually quite ticklish.
They could kill me by being in the room. That's all it takes. I will kill my... Sometimes it's not the thing that injures you. It's just that it's scary enough that you injure yourself.
You have a heart attack or something.
Crash through a window on the way out.
Oh, yeah. Coming right at us. Crash through. Oh, God. That's terrifying. So you've been working on this game for a year.
To the day. Exactly a year.
How big would you say you don't have to give me an exact number, but how big is the player base so far?
Actually, it's really hard to give you an exact number because we've had overall, it's probably been 2,500 people ever try the game, which isn't a lot. Right. So obviously we haven't had a lot of press coverage and things of that nature. So... Which has been fine up until now, really, because I've just wanted a steady trickle of new players coming through so that I can see how far people get and where they get stuck and where they get bored and all that sort of thing.
Ah, so it's kind of people have been testing for free.
I don't know. It's more examining how they play the game and how far they get through it. I sort of look at stats. That show the this guy logged in and had a look around and then quit, or this guy did five or six contracts and upgraded his ship and that's how far he's got so far and all the rest of it. So I see that and I use it as statistical sort of analysis for what features are working and what aren't.
Oh, like what? Oh,
sorry, go on.
No, like why did this guy do like 3 missions and then stop? You know, what could I do to make that more engaging? That kind of
thing. That's right. And as soon as, for example, we added the first lot of voice acting to that initial quest line, the retention or penetration, if you will, really went up into that quest line
because
so much more engaged when someone talks to them.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. I was like, oh, tutorial, let's do a mission. All of a sudden, this woman is like crying and asking me for help. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, how can I help you? Oh, my God, I'm sorry. Please stop please stop crying. We'll make it better. I swear, I'll do what I can. yeah, that's nifty how the game has – it's a browser game. It's got voice acting and everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect that.
No, I mean, someone – there was a company that tried doing browser-based space games like 15 years – 12, 14 years ago. They're called Wild Tangent.
Oh, I don't remember them.
Do you remember that, Jim?
Yeah, Wild Tangent. Didn't they do – they did a bunch of stuff that was before that, like the Fate games and
– yeah, yeah. Right? Well, that was actually a little after. But before that, they had an episodic space game that was in your browser only.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called, but I did play it back then, and I was like, wow, it's in a browser. This is crazy. No one's going to want this. And it hasn't changed much in like 10 years. People still
don't want it. No, it hasn't. I'd still definitely say most people don't want to know because it's in a browser. But it's been a good platform for me to test and build out the game as I go because I can roll an update out right away. Whereas with, say, for example, Jasura, they will wait and then they'll test the patch and make sure it works, which means once we're up there, I have to probably slow down my release cycle a bit because there are weeks, whole weeks, where I released at least once a day a new little update to the game. Yeah, so... Wow. And that's great because the players will be like, "Oh, what did you just add? Oh, cool, mouse control. Oh, great, I'm going to try that out."
How do you do mouse control?
That got added a few days ago. Actually, it's you just hold, if you're in first person mode, you hold down right button. You have mouse control of the ship.
Man, I'm going to try this right now.
Okay.
We undock. Oh yeah, look at that! Look at that! And then how do you move forward? Do you still spacebar?
Yeah, you're stuck with the spacebar.
Oh, that's okay.
I can add, I was thinking about adding thrusters to one of the buttons on the mouse, but then I realized that nearly every game uses two buttons, and then people have, like the whatever voice chat they're using to talk to people on one of the other buttons, and it would drive everyone mad if I accidentally hit their button for that. I don't know. Need to do button mapping.
I didn't even think people use voice to chat, because I have a mouse with like several extra buttons. I never use them, but I have them. And I never even thought about that, but this is pretty cool. Let's turn the alt thing off, the grab anchor off, and just go. Whee! See how fast I can go in this thing. Now, can you land on any planet, or is it only specific planets you can land on?
So at the moment, the planets in the Apollo cluster, with the exception of Janus A Prime, which is in the less regulated, lawless, pirate-filled system, they're all done with the old style when I hadn't worked out how to get around 32-bit floating point error. So that those planets are quite – they're little planetoids. They're right. Quite small, and you don't have the ability to land on them as a result. At some point, I should replace them with the new style of planets where I went and cheated a lot. And say, for example, Janus A Prime is the size of planet Earth. It really is actually 6,300 odd kilometers in radius. So you can easily land on that. It has its own gravity and all the rest of it. And the new planets out in the new systems, of which there are presumably hundreds of billions of these planets and moons, you can land on all of those. So, yeah. And in the tutorial, too, that's another Earth-sized planet.
Yeah, I flew around that a little bit. Okay, I'm going to... Oh, this mouse control makes mining, at least approaching an asteroid, much easier than I was doing with the WASD keys. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it was just one of those – it's another one of those things where a bunch of players kept requesting it, so I went, crap, I should do this. And that's been the story of the game, really. So a lot of the things you see in the game are player requests. And just fine-tuning, not even when it's like the – not necessarily the whole feature, but just the way – things work and the way you interact with them, all of that's been fine-tuned by player feedback. It's great.
Ooh, nice. I got a successful implosion of the asteroid.
Nice work.
I see how it is. So it tells you haven't done it enough, so you just got to keep tweaking it a little bit, a little longer, a little longer, a little longer, and then eventually, yeah, this is pretty cool. Let's try this asteroid here. I'm playing right now. Because why not? It's in a browser. It's easy. Okay.
And the larger an asteroid is, the longer you can beam it for. And there's a visual cue to how close to the breaking point the asteroid's getting.
Oh, what's the visual cue?
It's the color that it goes. You'd be able to figure it out pretty quickly.
I didn't see it.
Different temperatures, things glow different colors, and you'll find that.
Interesting. I will try another asteroid and see if I can see that. This Uralite asteroid, whatever Uralite is. Wow, there are lots of asteroids here. Now, is there any collision in this game? Because I don't think I've collided with anything yet.
Yes, there is. Yeah. So, I mean, if you get too close to that asteroid, depending how fast you're going, there'll be a bit of a clanging sound and you'll bounce off somewhere. What I have not implemented is collision damage at this stage.
At the moment, that would
just be annoying, but I will definitely add it at some point.
It makes sense to do it in like when you're mining, and I think I see the visual cue. It turns like a purple before, like a bright purple maybe, right before it does it, and then you got to stop. Hang on. Let's try this again. Oh, come on. Okay, so it's gold, 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 purple. Yes, successful implosion.
Very good.
Ah, 3, 6 silicon, 3 iron. That's not bad.
Oh, you'll be wealthy in no time. Is that right?
Got silicon and magnesium. Oh, I'm liking this. Now that I get that. Okay, come here, chemisite, you son of a bitch. I'm enjoying this now that I get that little – now that I see that you don't just point and shoot. Because I've been playing a lot of Jump Gate, and that's how you mine in Jump Gate is you just point the mining beam and you shoot, and that's it.
And I really should play Jump Gate at some point, but I just haven't had time to look into it. Been too busy coding away.
Well, it's back. You know, it got resurrected.
I heard that. The players were talking about it, so that's good. Yeah, I didn't. Mining was one of those things. It's in everything. Everybody does it, but everybody, for some inexplicable reason, makes it seem dull and lifeless to me. It was one of those things where I thought, we'd really want to make a bit of a game out of this.
It's kind of like a mini game. Like you have to time it just right.
Yeah, but not a not an immersion breaking, unrealistic. Why is this a mini game? Mini game, one that fits with the physics and the chemistry of it, and all the rest of it.
That makes sense. Yeah, if an asteroid gets too hot, it's just going to break up, and the materials might be so hot they burned off or something. You know?
I mean, you don't want to vaporize them. You probably want them in liquid form, and then you can get them with your tractor beam and whatnot. So
yeah, but can you imagine how much fun and how much of a market it would open if asteroid mining were actually more like playing Bejeweled? You know, so you have to find like different things in the asteroid and match 3 in a row, and then they get sucked into your cargo hold.
And that's exactly what I wanted to avoid.
And you could call it Asteroid Crush. Yeah. Oh,
God.
Get sued.
Oh, God, stop. That sounds terrible. Get sued. No, didn't they stop? Didn't they stop doing that stuff? Didn't that company just give up that lawsuit?
I hope so.
I think they did. I think they dropped their oh, God, it's heading right for me. Okay. I'm going to go back to the station now and see how much I could sell this for. Whee! Yeah, the autopilot makes this game much more accessible than it might be if you had to fly for it manually, which I like.
Yeah, so that was one of the other things I wanted to achieve with the game, which so far has been an abject failure, was to make the game really accessible by initially, I mean, you can just play it as though it's a web, you're in a web browser. You can just navigate between stations, buy here, sell there. That is really easy, but I don't think the easiness of that is really apparent to new players. I think the core market for the game is still the diehard space game nerds like myself. I think that's still the game's core market. But in theory, anyone can play it. And I do have some other players who are really quite unconventional, not even computer game players. They're just people that like space, and they got into it just pointing and clicking like that. And then because the level of difficulty ramps up very slowly, and as you go from feature to feature, it sort of takes you through it and all the rest of it. These people have got right through, and they're building mammoths and stuff now. So,
right.
Yeah, there's a bit of a – it sort of works.
No, I have a question though. Like, apparently I can't sell a mineral that I have. I can only buy it at this particular station because they already have some available or something.
If you're at a space station that's around a planet that produces that particular mineral, then they'll have it for sale at the time, and they won't be interested in buying it. They're trying to offload it so they can buy food and survive.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So if you run off to another station, you might find...
I should go somewhere else and try and sell this stuff. I see. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, I got like 6,000 credits so far out of that little haul. That's not bad.
Yep. Mining can be very healthy.
Oh, I love it. And I like how the jumps are just so quick. Like, I didn't even notice earlier that I had jumped. I thought it was stuck. I thought the game had frozen.
Although I do want to add some more effects to the jumping and whatnot, one of the other principles we try to adhere to is never make the player wait for no apparent reason. So the jumps are instantaneous because I hate it in games when I go to jump from one place to another and it does this whole great big, ooh, you're in space sequence, and then there's a 10-second delay while the screen's black while it's loading the next scene. I'm trying to avoid all of that and make it as instantaneous as possible.
Yeah, well, you have so far, because I didn't even know. Like, earlier I was talking to Jim. I was playing while I was online. I'm like, oh, the game stopped. I'm like, no, wait, I can move. Oh, I jumped up. Wow, that was fast.
Yeah. And it's the same with the warping. When you warp somewhere, it just instantly runs into warp. I don't like those delays where you're just waiting for something to happen.
Well that's nice because of the accessibility and the autopilot and the quickness. You could play a little bit in like 10 minutes or a short lunch break and feel like you accomplished something.
And you will have in a lunch break in a 15 minutes. It's designed for that. And also if something comes up, you can just close the window and get on with whatever you have to do. Unless you're in combat at the time, then when you go back in, you'll be more or less exactly where you left it off, and you can just keep going.
So if you close the browser tab or whatever, and you're not docked, what happens? Will you come back at a dock? Will you come back exactly where you were? I mean, how does that work?
You come back in that system. You won't be exactly you probably won't be exactly where you were. You'll come back at some point to one of the warp beacons in that system.
Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, like you were saying, you can accomplish something. Like in like the last 5 minutes when I was doing that mining and stuff, I was talking to you, and I went to two stations. I doubled the amount of money I had. I have about 30,000 credits now selling off that stuff.
Part of the perceived gap in the market was that. I mean, I've played a bunch of other space games as well, other MMOs, and they're all – you can't get anything done for the most part in less than at least an hour of play. And it's so easy to get buried. Maybe you're at the bottom of some big mission or you're in some dangerous space and you can't just get up and walk away. And I think once you have a job and a – you know, or God forbid, a family and whatnot, you really need games where you can just interrupt them and the game will wait, as opposed to you having to wait for the game. Yeah.
Yeah, which I like.
It's been sort of a game design goal, was to make it compatible with being a grown-up.
Yeah. Now, I gotta say one thing. It's kind of weird I noticed. Like, if you look at the map, it doesn't say you are here if you're docked.
Yeah, I should probably make it do that because it wouldn't be too hard.
That'd be very handy, thank you. Because I'm like, okay, I don't know where I am right now.
I'm going to take a note of that, actually. That's a good idea.
Where am I? I'm in Andromeda. Okay, that's cool. And you know what else would be great? If on the map you have just like a legend of like, this system has an asteroid belt in, this one doesn't. You know, because you say in the wiki which systems have asteroid belts, but like, I might be full screen and not be able to read the wiki, or I want to read the wiki right now, you know. So it's like a little rock next to Vulcan, I think, which is where the asteroid field is. You know, something like a little indicator on the map, like, oh, this is where an asteroid field is, and this is where a planet you can land on is, or something. You know what I mean? Just an idea, just a thought. I'm gonna go back and do some more mining. No, I shouldn't. That's rude. But wow, I just made money and I can make more, and then I can buy stuff. So yeah, I like this. Like, I could see myself like, I've got 15 minutes to play a game. What space game do I want to play? I don't want to play something arcadey. Oh, this is great because I could like make money and feel like I, you know, did something and accomplished something. So yeah, no, I'm definitely digging this.
Yeah, even once you're quite established, if you know, assume you've got sort of cities on 8 of the planets and a big star base, I think it might be a 20-minute play session instead of a 15-minute play session, but you can probably whip around and do all the transport you want to do in that day quite quickly.
I was just about to ask about that. You said when you have planets and stuff that are producing things, do you have to go to your planet and your city to pick up the stuff that was produced, or is there like, does it get transported somewhere, or how does that work?
At the moment, you have to do it, okay. But by that point, it's probably fair to say you'll have a big ship and you can probably empty most planets in one or two trips.
Will you be able to maybe hire a cargo fleet or something to do it at some point? Is that a thought?
Yeah, so some point soon, I would like to add. Because, I mean, obviously you can already have multiple ships, but you can't pilot them all at once. One of the things I want to add is crew and staff, so that you can put a crew member in a ship and say, you, pilot that and do this transport run. And the way the game's set up, that's not going to be too difficult for me to do. It just requires a bit of time. And the staff side will be basically, you know, you can put people in charge of buildings and so on, and give them positions in your ship. So crew members within your ship that enhance certain things.
Oh, very nice. They'll have like bonuses to maneuverability or bonuses to weapons or something like
that. Yeah. And I really want to make it so that they have their own skill set, and then developing them as part of the game and all the rest of it. So,
right. You want to keep money coming in so you can pay them so they don't leave.
Bingo. Yep.
Oh, that makes sense. So eventually there's going to be just a ton of stuff. I mean, there's already a good amount of variety of things you can do already.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I look at what I've got done in a year and I think, wow, if I stay on this for another year, where are we going to be? And, pretty much everything we've just talked about would be in-game within a year. If I manage to stay on it for another 12 months full-time, no doubt, we would have all of these things to at least some extent would be in there, to be sure, considering how far it's come in a year. It's easy to extrapolate that out.
Oh. So you've collected a lot of data over the last year of player habits and what players do to make money and all that stuff, and that's how you help – that helps you update the game to make it even better.
Yeah, it helps with balance, and it helps with just the enjoyment of it and how far people are drawn into things and do them. I think, it's really easy to see after a big change. Like, for example, we went recently from just, you know, you start in space and then stuff happens to it starts with a tutorial where you've landed on a carrier in a little bit of ocean, near some landforms, and you're on a planet. And then there's a computer talking to you explaining the flight controls. And I found just from making that change, there was quite a profound difference in the number of people that were drawn in to the game as compared to before that change. So, yeah, you can really see with the stats, what changes, what the effects that they have.
Now, the game also offers premium access.
That's right. So it's really expensive. So it's
it's $3 a month, for God's sakes.
For everything, it's $3 a month. Yeah. So there's a premium planets option. You can have for free to play. You can have access to two of the planets, and build cities on those. If you want the other six, which are also a bit more lucrative, because they sell more exotic things like produce more exotic things like titanium rather than just iron, which is a bit cheaper, and star bases, you can have one ring, which is up to six modules free to play, or you can have a lot more rings. There are people who have a giant tunnel with 30 something modules on it, and they can produce quite a lot in an hour. And the combat, you can have you can use higher than class 5 weapon modules if you have the premium combat option. So they're the main points of the three premium options. And there needs to be some kind of premium in there, because obviously this is a client-server application. it's an MMO. The servers cost money, so I need income from the game in order to pay the servers or keep them running.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not expensive at the moment. It's easy to just it's easy to just subscribe and it doesn't cost a lot.
I'm honestly tempted to do it because what the hell, $3? You know, I mean,
yeah, that's sort of thinking. And if you know, if $3 is giving you pause, then you can just get the one thing you're interested in at the time, and that's more like $1. So, yeah.
I mean, it's $2.97 a month, or if you want to pay for 3 months, it's $8.91. That's U.S. dollars. So I'm doing this right now. Why the hell not? I'm doing this right now. Why not? Because I feel like I'll be playing this more often, and I want to support. You know, I've already backed a lot of Kickstarters, so why not? There we go. I hope no one just heard me type in my PayPal password.
I did. So
God damn it. Now, the name of your company, Fluffy Kitten Studios, is that the name of your cat, Fluffy?
No, but he stood on the keyboard when we were discussing the possible name, and that's when the name came out. So it is inspired. His name is actually Louis, and he's not a kitten anymore. He's more of a cat now. Yes, it's an unfortunate name. I think most people think we're a porn studio when they first see that name. But at least it's not the space game.
Now, let me ask, when you I have to re-log in apparently because I just did the premium thing. The new game or load game option, what does that do since logging in just takes you back to where you were already?
So you can, if you click new game, I assume you've registered, which means the new game button is enabled, it will actually create a new character.
Oh.
But it's made, the idea of it calling it new game and load game isn't to maximize confusion, which is what it has done, but it was to be compatible with people who aren't necessarily MMO players, that other market I'm interested in, which is everyone else. And they understand intuitively what new game means and what load game means. Some of the login and having a username terminology might not be as obvious to them.
Oh, so you can have different characters and that's what that means?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or different people can play on that computer. So as soon as you've registered, because you then have an email address in the database, it will let you create another game, whereas before that it won't let you do a new game until you've registered, because then you would effectively blow away and lose your earlier character because you've got no way of getting it back.
Oh, I don't want to do that. I'm liking this character. I don't want to mess it up.
but because you're registered, you can just log in.
Sense if you got more than one person to, you know, if you want to share the game or something. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Okay, I have premium access now. You're welcome.
Thank you.
No, I could definitely see myself playing this, like, when I have, like, oh, dinner's going to be ready in 15 minutes, but I want to play something now. I can log into this for a little bit and do some mining.
I do see players playing for longer as well. But
it's one of those games
where you can just log in, do something quickly, and get out again.
Right. So you've already sent the PC version to Desir. Is there going to be a standalone Mac or Linux version as well? I think Unity does, right?
Yes, it does. Mac would probably be a relatively easy build to do. Linux might be a bit harder because, I'd have to really look into it. So the short answer is yes, I would like to do that. The longer answer is there is only one of me, and the time I spend doing five different builds could be spent developing. So I think it's probably something I will do once we've established a studio and I have some other people working on the game. I might expand out into other builds. But at the moment, you know, Mac users can use the web interface like everyone else, so...
So I think we've covered just about... Wait. Okay, wait. I was just glancing at the wiki real quick. What are robot laser monkeys?
That is a false wiki entry. I've left it there because it's quite comical. But
I want one now. They look awesome.
Yeah, I think you're contractually obligated to deliver at this point.
Well, actually, yeah, if someone adds it as a suggestion to a user voice page and gets a bunch of votes on it, I will definitely implement robot laser monkeys. I don't know what they would do. Maybe they just fly around your ship and get in the way. Actually, that's probably what a robot laser monkey would do, and randomly laser things unhelpfully.
No, you know they need to do? When you go mine, you let them loose, and they, like, pound on the asteroid until it breaks up, and then they bring the stuff back to you.
Yeah.
So maybe they'd be, like, a really expensive alternative to a mining beam, but one that's more efficient.
More efficient or automated.
Because it actually makes contact with the asteroid.
Mm.
So it, like, grabs on and punches the hell out of it. That'd be great. That'd be great. Make that happen. I just paid for the game. So make that happen.
I think you paid for about 39 seconds of development there. So it'll have to be a very, very quick feature.
Well, let's see. I'm sure I could find an image of a monkey on Google Images.
Actually, I do want to do that at some point. Not necessarily robot laser monkeys.
You know what?
I do want to have player submitted ship models and so on.
You know what? I know a guy through the site. You should look it up. His site is called Soul Command, and he makes models. He makes 3D models so people can use them in their games.
Really?
Yes.
Can you send me the URL? I will check out his stuff.
I will totally do that. I think it's in my latest it's just soulcommand.com. I will post that in Skype right here so you have it. Boom, done. There you go. Yeah, and he makes free models of stuff. I would talk to this guy. Yeah, he does a good job. Folks, it's soulcommand.com. He makes free 3D models to be used in games and such, and it's nice stuff. And he's very supportive. He's a friend of the site, so I always try and link to his new stuff. He's got good stuff. So I would talk to him. I don't know if he'd do it for free, but he does all these other models for free. I don't know.
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, I've asked him about, like, are you doing this as, like, part of a portfolio or something? He's like, no, I just love doing it. Okay.
Well, that's usually when someone's good at something, they love it.
Yeah, he's got all these ships and stuff. It's really nice stuff. So talk to him about making a robot laser monkey that's an expensive mining drone, basically.
I will have to. Absolutely.
I would save up. I would grind. And, folks, every MMO has grind. It's not that bad a word. Every MMO has grind. I would grind to get a robot laser monkey to mine more efficiently. I'm not even kidding. I would do that. All over that crap.
Very good.
Question.
I think your neighbors are coming through the wall.
They may be, yeah. They're definitely replacing a warp core or I'm not sure. There's a lot of hammering going on there. Maybe they found a spider and they're chasing it around the room, or it's chasing them.
That could be a huntsman spider. That's how maybe you get rid of them.
And maybe that's
maybe the, it's shooting. Got the hammer and it's running around on seven other things.
I mean, that's the sound of their shoes hitting the floor trying to kill it. I think I covered just about everything I had about the game, which is pretty awesome. Jim, do you have anything?
No, I'm pretty good.
Okay. Well, James, I would like to thank you for taking the time to come on and telling us about Ascent the Space Game, folks. It's at thespacegame.com, which is very easy to remember. At least it should be freaking easy to remember. But I'll post it in the entry for this as well, obviously. But it's really fun, easy to get into, not very complicated, good for quick sessions or lengthy ones, however you want to play it. But yeah, if you need an elite-style game in your browser that, you know, you can feel like you accomplished something in a short amount of time, this is a good fix. This really scratches a good itch. I mean,
thank you, and thanks for having me on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
and folks, again, I just shelled out money for it, if that tells you anything. I mean, okay, it tells you I'm a whore for space games, because I am. You all know this. But, I mean, I just hit the microphone. But yeah, I mean, this is good stuff. And I like where it's going with the with the planets, with the space, with the stations, with the being able to walk around. I like that you have a good solid future plan for this game. So wait, when it gets into Sora, is it going to be free there as well? Do you have a price in mind?
Oh, the client, I think you're selling for a little bit over $5 US.
Oh,
and then that's with every patch thereafter will just be there.
And does that get premium access for a certain amount of time?
It doesn't. Because when I looked at how to do that with Jasura, it was a lot of work that I could otherwise spend doing a feature. So I'll be focusing on that. It's part of the problem with only having one of me.
Right.
To choose one or the other.
And will the browser version still exist?
Yeah, I think there are a bunch of players that love that it's in the browser, and there's sort of browser-only people that sort of play it. So I would be probably murdered if I stopped updating the browser version.
Well, again, that makes it cross compatible and makes it run on like multiple computers. Like if I wanted to play on one account and my girlfriend wanted to play on her MacBook, she could.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you can just not that I encourage people to play during work hours, but in your lunch break at work, you can play it on the browser and then come home to the PC version during the day if that's what you want to do.
And just pick up right where you left off.
Exactly. Yeah. Same login, so there you are.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm really liking where this is going, and I'm definitely going to be playing more, especially since I got a bigger, prettier ship. But James, thank you so much for joining us. It's been very enlightening. Folks, thespacegame.com, check it out. It is free to play, and it's really just in your browser. Just play it. It's great. And that's it, I think. Yeah, I'm falling asleep right now. So have a good night, everyone.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler.
Sure thing.